Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
To another episode of the Tide Talk podcast, Stacy Blackwood with Jake Thomas. Jake, how you doing, buddy?
Man, I'm doing great. I'm glad, you know, tomorrow's Friday and football, especially Alabama football, is back to, you know, Saturday. But before we get too deep into discussion, I got a question I was going to ask you. You know, there's been been an elephant in the room all over Twitter and everything on you know, there's these so-called, and I put it on Twitter tonight, so-called, you know, quote, Alabama fans, unquote, who are rooting for Jalen over Tua to win the Heisman or be successful. Well, what's your opinion on that? I'll give you my opinion after you give yours.
Well, the fact is that Jalen is no longer a part of the Alabama team. Mm-hmm. I mean, that should be where it ends. I mean, I'm appreciative of what all Jalen Hurts done for Alabama, how he represented himself, you know, especially last season when Tua took over the starting job and, you know, and he just kind of had to be the backup quarterback, and he handled that really well. He didn't cry. He didn't quit. He hung in there. But that was last season. That's when he was a part of Alabama. Now he's not a part of Alabama. I mean, I wish Jalen nothing but the best. I really do. But all these former players like Mack Wilson and Isaiah Buggs wanting him to win the Heisman over Tua is absolutely ridiculous. He is not an Alabama guy anymore. He is an Oklahoma player. Tua should be who you're pulling for to win the Heisman if you're pulling for somebody to win the Heisman and you're an Alabama fan. I don't understand it. It makes no sense to me. It's pretty cut and dry to me. Yeah, we want Jalen to be successful in life, but we want Tua to be more successful this season because he is actually Alabama's quarterback. I don't know why that's hard for Alabama fans to understand.
Yeah, I agree 100%, man. You know, my thoughts on the whole situation is, you know, you can look back through my memories and on Facebook. I was a big Jalen supporter. I mean, I people was trashing me, saying Jalen was a bad quarterback, and I stood up for the guy, and that whole year, and I mean, what he did while he was an Alabama player was awesome. I mean, he led that amazing comeback against Ole Miss. Well, I think we talked about that a couple of times. He also led the comeback win against Mississippi State with like maybe 150, maybe 10 minutes left to go in the game. He drove right down the field and got us the game-winning touchdown there. And the national championship game of 2017, you know, he did struggle. He was unable to move the ball. But when it mattered and he needed to go down there to score a touchdown, he scored the touchdown, got us the lead, and then, of course, the defense was gassed. We all know what happened there. But as an Alabama player, he was – at the time, especially last year when he come in for Tua in the SEC championship game. He did an amazing job anytime, and he was a team player. That's what I love about Jalen. He was a team player. But I do not blame him for transferring, because Tua is our guy. But now, I mean, I want the kid, Jalen, to be successful. But Tua is our guy, and I want him to win the Heisman. I want him to win national championship. I want, because he's a part of Alabama, like you said. So I agree with you. It should be cut and dry. Tua's the guy. Jalen was the guy. Now he's going to another team. I wish him the best, but Tua is our guy, and he's the one that ought to be getting credit for everything.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand why some Alabama fans are just not comprehending the fact that Jalen is not a part of the Alabama football team this season. Sure, I'm happy he's having a great start to the season. I mean, I expect him to put up some gaudy numbers, because they don't really play a team that plays, you know, good defense. So, I mean, he's going to have great numbers. He'll probably be in New York for the Heisman ceremony, but I hope Tua wins. Because he represents Alabama. If Jalen's in New York this year, it's not going to be representing Alabama. It's going to be representing Oklahoma. So I don't understand why former players and teammates of Jalen, I mean, I understand them wanting him to do well, but for wanting him to win the Heisman over somebody that's at Alabama right now is just laughable. And it really drives me crazy.
I agree 100%. You know, that's been, you know, a big topic the past couple of weeks on Twitter, but, you know, it finally come to a head this week with, like you said, Matt Wilson, Isaiah Bugs, former players rooting for Jalen and not for the team that they represented at their time at the university.
I mean, I hope they realize that Tua secured those two guys a national championship when he came in for Jalen against Georgia.
I agree.
Come on, give me a break.
Of course,
I think Mike Wilson's got issues anyway. I think he's about crazy.
Yeah, you're right about that.
But anyway, we can move on from that and kind of talk about last week's game against South Carolina and Columbia. You know, it's there's been a lot of mixed reviews on this game. I was kind of surprised at how many fans were kind of disappointed in the team. Wasn't really disappointed. The offense was fantastic. People talk about, well, the running game wasn't great. Well, I mean, we only ran it 25 times as a team. Right. So, I mean, it's not – we didn't make a concerted effort to run the ball. The RPO, the pass on the RPO was open all day long. I mean, so we were just throwing it. I mean, and Tua was hitting the guys in stride, and that's obvious by the numbers he put up. I mean, he was 28 of 36, listen, for 444 yards and 5 touchdowns and a big goose egg in the interception column. So, I mean, just a fantastic day from Tua. And the offense pretty much done whatever they wanted to in the ball game.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And yeah, you was right. Najee and Brian Robinson didn't carry a lot. But Najee did make a difference in the passing game as well. I mean, he had five receptions for 87 yards and had that beautiful stiff arm and that beautiful leap, and I mean that was just amazing to see. It was kind of like a coming out game. I think Saban said tonight on Hey Coach, it was a coming out game for him. So I hope this kind of gets his confidence up a little bit. But like you said, the receivers, I mean,
you know, and sorry to interrupt you, but you know, I brought that up last week. I thought that Najee was going to be a difference maker in the game. I thought it might be more in the running game. But it turns out Steve Sarkisian did a great job of creating a plan to get Najee involved in the passing game. And you see that Najee is more comfortable in the open space than kind of in between the tackles, and he made some incredible plays.
He did. He did. And, man, what about Devontae Smith? Man, he went off the Saturday too. 8 receptions, 136 yards, and 2 touchdowns. You know, Judy still got his, you know, he didn't have the flashy numbers and he didn't have a touchdown, but I mean, he still got his receptions. Henry Ruggs had an amazing day. That dude can fly. I don't care what you say. I mean, he caught that ball in the open space and he was gone. I'm like, good night, the speed on that guy.
Yeah, I want to say they said that they clocked him at around 24 miles per hour on that long touchdown catch where he made everybody else look like they were walking.
Yeah, that's amazing, man. He's a special talent. Devontae Smith, special talent. Judy, of course. And, man, you know, I really want, you know, talking about the Mitch reviews, you know, we say what we will, that, yes, the defense young. Yeah, we have lost another player and LeBron Ray, but we got another guy next man up, you know. And I believe Justin, I cannot think of his last name, Ibogwe, I think he's going to do really well. I heard a lot of good things about him, but to be upset about the game, man, how can you be upset with it? I mean, our offense is, I don't think anybody can match up. I mean, if they're going to do man on man and, you know, against our receivers, they're going to lose all day. And, you know, I don't know how you're going to stop this offense.
Well, like you said, the Alabama's offense is going to be tough to stop. And, I mean, people talk about the defense. To me, I mean, I don't care that they threw for 324 yards. It took them 57 attempts to throw for 324 yards. I mean, good grief. I mean, of course, yeah, they're going to, if you throw it 60 times a game, of course you're going to throw for 300 yards. Mm-hmm. And they had the one BS touchdown in the first half where our guys were right in position. It was a terrible throw. He shouldn't have made the throw. It should have been picked off. We just didn't make a play on the ball. I mean, that was a crap play. There was a couple crap plays. Major Tennyson got a touchdown taken away that he should have had. You know, they scored at the end on a bullcrap targeting call on, I think it was Christian Barmore. It's just the officials were horrendous each way. I mean, they made bad calls on Alabama and bad calls on South Carolina. It was a horribly officiated game. And South Carolina hit a couple crap plays that boosted their stats a little bit. The defense, I think, will be fine. I mean, I still feel okay about it. They're young. I mean, they're going to give up some plays. And it's not like South Carolina's chopped liver. I mean, they have a lot of skill set on the offensive side of the football. I mean, you look at their wide, Brian Edwards is a playmaking receiver. And we talked about him a little bit last week. I mean, Rico Dowdle's a good player. Tavian Feaster's a good player. So, I mean, they got some good offensive weapons. Helinski's, you can tell that he's going to be a really good quarterback when it's all said and done. So, I mean, the game really didn't really surprise me that much. I mean, you take away their crap touchdown they had in the first half and that crap touchdown that they had after a ridiculous targeting call, and the game is – the score is pretty much what we both thought it would be. So, I mean, I think it's one of those classic overreaction things where people see we give up 23 points and over 300 yards passing and over 100 yards rushing. Are we as good against the run as we have been in the past? No. We're not near as good as we, but we're a different type of defense. Right. So, I mean, we're still pretty solid against the run. I mean, I would say we'll probably wind up finishing in the top 10 or 15 in the country in the run. So, I mean, it's not like it's just atrocious defensive play. I think, like I said, it's just classic overreaction to a couple crap plays that South Carolina had. I mean, I don't want to, you know, take anything away from them. I mean, they did make some plays, but Alabama dominated that game from pretty much the start to the finish.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, talking about the defense, yeah, this is not, you know, I think somebody made the comment, it's not like the defense of old, which, you know, we grew accustomed to. And I believe you made the comment on how spoiled we are as Bama fans, and we are. But I think, you know, looking back, we had trouble with option quarterbacks who ran the RPO well against us, and we have kind of built a defense now that will stop the RPOs against us. If we're going to be lacking in some areas to, you know, that's fine. But I still believe that, like you say, we'll still finish in the top 10 and run defense.
Yeah, you know, just the only thing that bothered me about the game was, one, the penalties and the few missed tackles we had.
Yeah.
Other than that, I was pretty pleased with our performance. I think our offensive line played their best game of the season.
Yeah.
Like if you look at our top two backs, between Najee and Brian Robinson, they only carried the ball 15 times.
Yeah.
And Najee averaged 5 yards a carry and Brian averaged 4. So against an SEC defense, that's pretty good. We just didn't try to run the ball. So right. The running game didn't really change my mind on anything. It didn't verify that maybe our run game is going to struggle this year, and it didn't tell me that we're going to be a dominant run team. I think the jury's still out on that until we get Cornbread back, aka Deontay Brown, and kind of solidify the starting five up front. And we've talked about that week after week. Yet a lot of fans still seem to just be so scared that the running game is not going to be any good. So I just, like I said, classic overreaction. I think we're going to be fine. The defense will continue to get better each and every week. Now, we do need to stop having injuries. I hate that LeBron Ray's out for at least 6 weeks. That kind of bothers me. I think he was set to have a good season. So, and he was already having a good season, but I'm confident in Justin Abubi. I think he was going to play a large role this season anyway. He did get a couple weeks setback with an injury right before the season started, but he did get some action this last week against South Carolina. So we'll kind of see what kind of he's made of this weekend against Southern Miss, and you know we'll probably have four starters on defense that are true freshmen. That's crazy to think about.
Mm-hmm. Not to mention I think we got a couple of true freshmen on the front line or offensive line. I know Neil, there might be one more. But I'm not 100%.
Just Neil.
But I mean, still he's done really good this year as well. I think he solidified himself as a starter for the rest of the season on the offensive line. And yeah, offensive line did probably have the best game of the year. I think it's just going to take a while for them to gel. I heard on another podcast today, somebody talking about that, Dickerson didn't make it down there till late in the fall. So, you know, he's trying to get used to the players and who to, you know, how, you know, get the gel going, you know. So I think they'll be better here in a couple of weeks. You know, I think we'll be able to run the ball against Southern Miss, and I think we'll be fine with Ole Miss as well. So the big test is going to be at A&M in a few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, this team's going to get better each and every week, especially along the offensive line and on the defensive side of the ball. You're going to see the team continue to grow and develop, and like you said, just kind of grow together and understand how to play off one another. And like you said, luckily we have a couple teams that should be, you know, pretty easy wins for Alabama to grow on until they go into the bye week before they travel to Kyle Field to take on Texas A&M.
Which I'm not getting too concerned about that A&M game now, because they laid an egg against Clemson. I really, you know, that was one of my big bold predictions of the year, was they can go in there and beat Clemson, and they just laid an egg. So I don't know, you know, how good that offense really is without a good dominant running game like they've had.
Yeah, that's kind of, you know, that obviously they got a big game. You know, they host Auburn Saturday, so that's a big time matchup. We'll kind of see what both teams are made of after that game.
I agree 100%.
But before we head into the matchup this week against Southern Miss, we need to go over our poll for the Tide Talk Player of the Week. We appreciate all the votes. We had 234 votes. That's the most we've had so far. So we appreciate everybody voting and commenting. We had four options. We had Tua, Najee, Smitty, and Ruggs, all offensive players. It was a big offensive day this last weekend against South Carolina. And to no surprise, Tua won with 48% of the votes. Najee coming second with 32%. Smitty got 11%. And Henry Ruggs the third got 9%. Does that surprise you, Jake? Was you thinking somebody else might win, or did you think it was going to be Tua?
No, I believe it was going to be Tua 100%. I mean, the kid, I don't think – I think I've seen stats over the year or over this year. I think he's thrown 11 touchdown passes and still that goose egg in the interception column. And he's really starting to read defenses a whole lot better. You know, it seemed like last year he was kind of forcing – the ball a little bit too much, and now he's with that RPO, man, he's got it down. He's got it perfected along with them receivers, and it didn't surprise me. Now, you know, another guy, I think Danny made the comment that Xavier McKinney could have been was an honorable mention, and I agree with that. He played a heck of a game Saturday as well.
Yeah, that dude's all over the field. He is an unbelievable safety. I don't think he gets enough recognition, you know, nationwide.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%, man.
But, yeah, I do want to go over some of these comments. John, I'm not sure how to say his last name. Seiko?
Yeah.
He replied that he went with Smitty. He played consistently high the whole game. Absolutely. He was – you know, he's Mr. Dependable. That's what I kind of like to call him. I mean, he just always seems to make the play, and he's got great hands and runs great routes and can make some things happen after he makes the catch as well.
And, you know, I think they made the comment on the telecast this week that Judy is the best route runner. Ruggs has got the speed and Devontae's got the hand. So, yeah, he is Mr. Dependable, definitely.
Yeah, and somebody that hasn't really broke out yet this season is Jalen Waddle, but right. that's coming. I have no doubt about that.
Oh, definitely.
And Bobby, he came back and said that Tua has grown a ton since last year and has learned to take what the defense gives you. Yeah. He only forced one pass, exactly what we need for him. I agree with that 100%. He's going through his progressions. He's not forcing anything, and he's just like Bobby said, taking what the defense gives you, and you know that's allowing his receivers to make plays after the catch, and like Jake just mentioned, they're all very dangerous at that.
Definitely.
DJ Hutchinson said that I've been behind him since first run. I love Najee. We like Najee. Najee's one of those guys that, like I said, he's got to get in the open field. He's not much of an in between. I mean, not that he can't run in between the tackle, but he's a space player, and which is rare for somebody that's 6'2", 230. But he's pretty special. Kevin said I went with Tua because he was near perfect. And he also agreed with Danny that Xavier McKinney is that dude on the defense.
You're right.
A couple more people talked about Najee. Bama Jax did. Shout out to Bama Jax. Yep. Cat B34, she said, Najee, let's talk about that hurdle. Oh, man. That's the play of the year to me so far.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. And
I don't even know what to say about it. It was freaking unbelievable.
It was. It was amazing. That stiff arm combined with that, man, that was awesome.
You know, my dad, he doesn't like to text or call during the game. He wants to be focused on the game. But I even got a text from my dad after that Najee run.
That's impressive because I know how he is during them games.
Yeah. But Greg Crenshaw, he tweeted at us. It was a tie between Smitty and Tua, but he went with Smitty. I can understand that. Yeah. Christy Rutherford said all of them, laugh out loud. But she said that Smitty jumped out to her because of all those great hands. He plucked a couple of those balls out of the air.
I was going to say, I like what Stephanie said. She wanted to vote for them all. And if we could, we probably would vote for them all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Devin Spiegelhalter, I hope I said that right, man, if you're listening. He said Smith led the team in receptions and had two touchdowns and made several tough catches to move the chains. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Appreciate the comments, guys. Ann Broadfoot. She said Henry Ruggs, he can turn on that speed, no doubt. Billy Williams said Tua. Kyle Anderson, he said he voted for Tua as well, but Smitty did a great job getting open to give Tua the opportunity to make the completion. Absolutely. And Tamra Tatum said Henry Ruggs. So we had a lot of interaction on the poll this week. We appreciate everybody voting on the Tide Talk Player of the Week. I think that's been this has been a big success breaking it out this season. So we appreciate all the votes on that. Yeah. That's been a lot of fun putting together and kind of interacting with all the fans. So we appreciate that very much.
Yeah, and I'm sure Tua's already seen that, and he's excited. So, you know, if anybody, any students listening to this, tell Tua to, you know, congratulations that he has won the Tide Talk Player of the Week.
I'm sure he was probably the first to know.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But anyways, yeah, we appreciate everybody voting on that. That means a lot to us and all the interaction. It's a lot of fun. But on to Southern Miss. I'll be honest with you, I don't have much to say about this game.
You know,
stay healthy.
I put out today, you know, I said the matchup to watch for is Alabama versus the SEC office, because they will not give us a home game at night, you know, for some odd reason. We've played every game at 2:30 or 11 this year, and it's bullcrap. You know, when are we going to get our first home game and get to see them awesome lights that that now everybody seems to be copying us that we put up?
I don't understand it. And what the media doesn't understand, the local media does, but the national media doesn't understand, that it has nothing to do with the players or the coaches that are, I mean, for lack of a better term, bitching about the game times. It's us fans.
Yeah.
Us fans do not want to sit in the 100-degree weather for 3.5-4 hours in the middle of the day every single Saturday.
Exactly.
Give us a freaking night game, for crying out loud.
And Gus Malzahn, would you hush? You know, he made that comment that he wishes he could play early, that way he can prepare for his next opponent. Yeah, you know, with that offense that you have been calling this year is not that great. You need all the help you can get. So maybe you do need to talk to the SEC office and get you some early games, because you're going to need it come SEC play.
Gus Malzahn's a prick. Nobody cares what he says.
Exactly.
Not even Auburn fans care what he says.
Right. I don't know why. You know, I don't know how he's still coaching.
I mean, I hope I think I say it every week. I hope he gets a lifetime contract.
Me too.
He's such a joke. Anyways, you done got me my blood boiling.
Yeah.
But Southern Miss. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, man.
I was going to say my thoughts. You know, I don't see it being close. I mean, I don't remember what they've done this year. I haven't really kept up with them, but you know, like I said earlier, I don't see anybody stopping our offense. I don't see anybody stopping Tua or them receivers. And you know, I think the defense they gel a little bit better. One of the big things last week was they was running the up tempo offense, and we couldn't get our plays in. We couldn't get Lee to get the play from the sideline, get the guys. We was out of position a lot. I do remember Saban talking about that. So I guarantee they've been working that on practice. I did see that they've been putting in noise in the practice facility to try to make it deafening in there to get everybody used to the sound of being at Bryant Denny when it's packed out. So just keep an eye out on that. But I think we've worked hard on that during practice, and I think the defense is going to do a little bit better this week.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the biggest thing is stay healthy. We've had enough injuries, so we just need to stay healthy. I think defensively, if we tackle well in space, it's going to be hard for them to get, you know, many points in the game. Obviously, it's going to be really tough for them to stop our offense on the running game or the passing game. So, I see us getting, you know, probably about 55, and they may get 10. They may get a crap touchdown towards the end of the game.
Right.
or something like that. So I'm going to say my score prediction is going to be 55-10. And like I said, if the defense tackles well in space, it's going to be hard for Southern Miss to score many points in this game. And it's going to be hard for anybody to stop the Alabama offense, much less Southern Miss.
Yeah. And I said 52-10, so we're out there close with each other.
Yeah, so the biggest thing, though, is no more injuries.
Yeah, and injuries are piling up. I don't like that, especially on the defensive end.
Yeah, we awful thin on the defensive line now, and obviously the linebackers have been thin since fall camp. So hopefully we can stay healthy. Maybe the injury bug has left Tuscaloosa, and they can stay healthy for the remainder of the season and continue on this revenge tour.
Definitely, because it's coming.
Yep, it's coming, and I think the team's just going to get better and better. Like I said earlier, obviously they got a lot to improve on. They got to tackle better on defense. They got to communicate better on the offensive line, and you know, they got to continue to develop that run game, you know, especially when it gets to SEC play.
Definitely. I agree with that 100%.
All right. So that's all we got for tonight.
I want to say one thing.
All right, go ahead.
I know it's football season, but I just want to say, you know, keep an eye on that basketball program. Like we said, Nate Oates is doing amazing things. I mean, people's coming to visit, like five-star talent, and that's very rare at Alabama. So I'm ready for the basketball season startup as well.
Yeah, and it's just around the corner. They'll be practicing soon, so we'll be bringing some basketball content as soon as that, you know, starts up hot and heavy. So be looking forward to that. Like Jake said, it's an exciting time to be a Alabama basketball fan.
Definitely.
But make sure you follow us on Twitter and, you know, like all our posts and retweet our stuff and comment. We love the interaction on Twitter. That's a lot of fun. It helps get us through the day. and our Twitter feed is @TideTalk_pod. Make sure you use the hashtag TideTalk. You can follow me, Stacy Blackwood, at Blackwood89.
I'm at Jake Thomas Tide.
All right, guys. Well, that's all we got, and we hope y'all have a good night. Can't wait till Saturday, and we'll talk to y'all again next week. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.